Welcome to the VPR Cafe. I'm Rick Singeri. That day of the week when your favorite farmer's market is in session, it's the best. You just show up, graze, try stuff, buy what you need, some things you don't. But there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that you rarely ever notice. Here to give us insight into the trials and tribulations of farmers markets is Suzanne Podheiser. She's a food writer for 7 Days. Suzanne, welcome to the VPR Cafe.
Thank you, Rick.
Do we have just too many farmers markets in Vermont now?
I mean, that is something that people in the ag department are wondering about. It's something that farmers are wondering about. In 2010, we hit a peak. We had 87 farmers markets that year. And, you know, if you think about the fact that Vermont has 251 towns, that's approximately one market for every three towns. And some of those towns are pretty small. So since that time, the number has declined to the low mid-70s. And we still have some markets that are struggling. And so that is one of the questions. Do we need to consolidate some of those markets, create bigger, more robust markets that, you know, serve a larger number of towns instead of trying to shoot for, you know, kind of one market per town?
They do come in all shapes and sizes. Is there kind of a right size to a farmer's market?
It really depends on the venue and the population. In Burlington, they have 90 vendors at the farmer's market, and they are going to stop growing at this point and just focus on the quality of the market and continually improving that. In some small towns, they have maybe 5 or 10 vendors gathered on the town green, and it's a small place, and that's about all that they can have. And so it really is kind of fluid from one town to the next. But what seems to be a trend is that, you know, you need enough vendors to attract people to shop, but not too many that people feel like they're tripping over each other and, you know, falling over strollers. And so it needs to feel comfortable and it needs to feel expansive, but not overwhelming.
There's a rub, or seems to be a rub, between prepared food vendors and the farm vendors. What's going on there?
Well, I think historically, you know, in the 70s when markets were really starting up around the state of Vermont, it was usually vegetable growers, maybe a meat producer and a baker or two. And now if you look at a farmer's market, say the Burlington Market, you have people selling dumplings, you have people selling cookies and lemonade and popcorn, and some of those things are not grown or produced in Vermont. They might be kind of put together and cooked here, but some of those items are coming from outside the state. And so that question of what the role of a farmer's market is, who it's supposed to be supporting, you know, is a question that's on a lot of people's minds. But, you know, the corollary to that is that the more robust markets bring in more people. And when there are a lot of different things to choose from, a lot of flexibility, that can really drive consumers to come and stay, spend the day there, listen to some music, buy a snack, buy some vegetables, buy their eggs and meat for the week. And so I think what we're seeing is that the markets that are most successful right now do have prepared foods. They are selling a wide variety of goods, even crafts and art, and that really drives traffic and keeps people excited. And that's what makes it different from a grocery store as well. That plus the actual contact with the farmers, the people who grow the food and make it.
This is the VPR Cafe. I'm speaking with Suzanne Podheiser, a food writer for 7 Days. We're talking about issues facing farmers markets. The common complaint is, I'm buying my produce directly from the farmer. Why isn't it cheaper? So what are your thoughts?
So imagine this scenario. You're a farmer and you've harvested a bunch of Swiss chard and you put it in boxes, and then a truck from Deep Root Cooperative pulls up. You put the boxes on the truck and you're done. You don't have to unpack it at the store. You don't have to put it on the shelves. And you certainly don't have to stand there and talk to people while they purchase it. At the market, you are doing a lot more work to get your goods to the consumer. You have to get up early in the morning to harvest. You drive to the venue of the market and set up your table. And you're standing there and you're chatting. And maybe you have a staff member who's helping you kind of keep the produce looking fresh and exciting. And by the end of the day, you've put in a 12-hour, you know, shift at that market. So there's a cost associated with that. And if you, as a consumer, want that direct connection with your farmer and you want that money to go directly to them and not to a middle person, that is a pricier thing.
And when they sell to a retailer, do they get a lower amount too for their produce?
They do. So they're making a lower price when they do wholesale to a restaurant or a retailer. And so to balance that out, you know, the retail price is more expensive, and it's often very consistent with what you'd be paying at the store. you're just paying for that farmer's direct services to you rather than, you know, paying that store to host that farmer's goods.
So what is my role? What is the role of the consumer in the health of these farmers' markets and the food system overall?
I think that there's some thinking in American consumerism that things are supposed to be really easy for us. We're supposed to just be able to show up and buy things, and they should be prepared within a few minutes, and it should be inexpensive. And I really think that if we want to support the farm as a model, the small, diversified farm, we have to change our thinking about that, and we have to be willing to make some more sacrifices, which might mean that we show up at a market when it's raining. It might mean that we get a CSA share, even if we don't exactly want all the kohlrabi. And so kind of building in that idea that if we like this robust farm system in Vermont, we might need to do a little bit more work to make it viable. What are they willing to sacrifice to have this, the farmer's market in the kind of beautiful, robust, healthy sense, and not the farmer's market where the farmers are struggling and they're not really making ends meet when they show up there?
Has the popularity of CSAs impacted farmers' markets in any way?
I do think it probably has. I think that CSAs and markets are drawing from the same customer pool, and that some people who have CSAs are going to avoid the markets altogether because they already got their box of vegetables on Friday and they don't need to go to the market on Saturday, or they will buy fewer things when they're at the market. So I do think they're competitive models. Often the same farmers do both. But there are farmers who really made all of their bread and butter at the markets and are maybe losing out when CSAs are more popular. However, it really is, you know, that's the consumer's choice. If it's more enjoyable for people, if it's a better fit for people to get those vegetables through a CSA, that's still, you know, better than buying out of town, you know, non-local ingredients. So it's still a positive thing, and it does have an impact.
Well, one way they are changing in this digital age is social media. So how do you see the farmers markets, the vendors using that?
You know, a lot of vendors are on Facebook, and I have to say that when I see kind of a luscious post from a farmer in the morning, I tend to end up at that market at some point during the day. I mean, that really gets me. I see the tomatoes, I see the sauerkraut, I see the brisket on toast, and, you know, I show up and buy those things. And I think that Facebook is a pretty powerful marketing tool for farms these days. Ren Wiener, who makes these wonderful sourdough donuts and other baked goods using local ingredients, was at the Winooski Farmers Market on a rainy, rainy Sunday. And Ren was already planning to deliver those goods to the food shelf because she didn't think she was going to sell them. And then all of a sudden, all these people started showing up and they started buying donuts and she couldn't figure out why. And so she asked someone and they said, well, there's a Pokemon near your donuts, a Jigglypuff Pokemon. So people who were playing Pokemon Go on their phones were then buying donuts when they caught the Pokemon. Maybe it was in celebration.
The Pokemon leads you right to a delicious donut.
As it should.
Suzanne Podhaizer is a food writer for 7 Days. Thank you for joining us at the VPR Cafe.
Thank you, Rick.